Heavenly Turbulence, Part 2 of Les Arts Leviathan. Thank you, Father. Open up the eyes of our understanding, our heart of understanding, to know and see and perceive what you are doing at the end of the age and how we are here as your holy temple to restrain the powers of darkness. Rise and shine. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you in the midst of deep, gross darkness. I want to go back to Revelation 12. Another sign appeared in the heavens. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his heads. Every culture, virtually every culture, has the mythos and nation of a dragon serpent. it's part of their myth theology, so to speak. In European, it's the wyvern, Fafnir in Norse myth, London is Leviathan, Nuker is a serpent. This serpent is a tree. Okay, twining serpent in the Garden of Eden, and even in the Middle East, the serpents around the Tree of Life. In Greek, it's with the 100-headed dragon, which is a Medea-type dragon, and Draco in Italian, and on through every culture, there is the dragon, the serpent, the Leviathan. Leviathan is actually considered the head, mainly over the waters, but it is perpetrated and contrasted with Michael. Let's look at Michael in Revelation 12. Who's Michael? Now. So we just read Revelation 12:3, and let's go down to 12:7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Here's the definition of who the dragon is, the serpent of old, the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, what is this shift? How was he cast out? Well, he was cast out because Jesus came and crushed him at the foot of the cross. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God. Day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives unto death." So this Michael and his angels are, Michael is the chief angel over the archangel. He's the archangel. He's over the host of heaven, and his angels are in battle against the dragon. They don't prevail. They do not prevail. The serpent was cast out by the sacrifice of the Lamb. Michael's also noted in Jude. Let's look at Michael in Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Why is this important? Because Moses, before he had an encounter at the burning bush with I am that I am, was in the Egyptian hierarchy, and they were serpent worshippers. They worshipped the dragon, and there were occult powers that operated through the high priests of the religion of the Egyptian, you know, the religion of Mizraim. And they, the endorsement of this is that all the judgments that Moses brought or declared that God was doing against Egypt were judgments against the gods that they worshipped in Egypt. Therefore, when Moses went in and threw down his staff and it became a serpent, the other occultist priests, the serpent worshippers, threw down their staffs, and the sign was all their serpent staffs, turn into serpents also. But the rod of Moses, that serpent, swallowed all the Egyptian serpent staffs, meaning God is the creator even of the dragon, even of the serpent, even in the tester, the usurper of God. All right. So what else is, what is this about the book, Michael? Okay, it also says in the book of Enoch that Michael was chief over the angels of God that opposed the fallen angels and the angels who left their first estate, as it says in Jude, and went after women in Genesis 6, and birthed the men of old, Nephilim, men of renown with women. They took on the form of what? Humans. Of humans. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12. These are really corroborating spirits. Daniel. Chapter 12. Because this is such an important chant, Daniel is the key to Revelation. The interpretation of the allegorical parables, the beast, the dragon, the Antichrist, the little horn, the heavenly throne room, the judgment seat of God, the elders, all of these things, they are the reflection of heaven. So who is this Michael? At that time, verse chapter 12, Michael shall stand up. At what time will that be? Well, when the Antichrist comes in and enters the glorious land, it says in verse 1141, and many countries are overthrown, but she shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And he, the Antichrist, the usurper, shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. All right, so let's go down. And he'll hear a report, it says in here, that shall trouble him. And he will go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. All right, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mount, that he shall come to his end and no one will help him. The tents of his palace between the seas, the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, and the glorious holy mountain would be Mount Zion, the earthly Jerusalem. Then at that time, Michael shall stand up. So these are notable points of prophetic fulfillment in order to usher in the war in heaven. At the time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And who is that? This is Israel. This Michael watches over the land of Israel because this is the Middle East that we're talking about. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as it never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. These prophecies are being fulfilled now. The seals and the scrolls are being opened. It says in Revelation that the Lamb opens the scrolls and he opens this revelation. And there's a blessing in it to those who he decides. Those who are wise, those who seek after them, those who turn many to righteousness, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on the riverbank, on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And then I heard the man clothed in linen who was there above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who is forever, that it shall be for times, times, and a half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, like a mirror, broken in pieces, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified. This is the process now in the midst of judgments. Made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up. Well, what is the abomination of desolation? It's in the temple. It's in the holy. It's the worship of abominable things. The breaking of the commandments of God as illustrated in Revelation 12. How do you worship God? You have no other gods before you. You don't serve those gods. You don't worship them. Then shall be 1,290 days, 3.5 years. Blessed be who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Praise the word of God. Praise his holy name. And all that has breath, praise the Lord. For his judgments are true and righteous, and great is his counsel. Who can know it? Who can know it? In the Qumran, it was taught that Michael leads the people of God in the eschatological battle, meaning the end time battles. He is responsible for the care of Israel and commander of the heavenly armies. He is Israel's advocate, the body of the Messiah. He is the advocate of his people, Israel. All of Israel shall be saved, it says. All of Israel shall be saved. In Romans 11. Be careful. All right. Let's go to Revelation 12 again. These are our texts. We're lining these up, line upon line, precept upon precept, with a similar language. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon. So this is the fall of Satan that at the coming of Jesus, where there becomes a demarcation between Judaism and the New Testament. This is where Jesus crushed the serpent's head. Let's look at Genesis 3:15. Revelation 12 illustrates really the fulfillment of the original prophecy regarding the fall of man, was in the process, shall we say, but there are levels of interpretation over this. Genesis 3:15. And I will put, okay, because you have done this, he said, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Oh, here we are, serpentine seed. What do they call them? Reptilian seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus bruised the head of the serpent, and he bruised his heel, and he struck him on the cross. Psalm 2 says, of the Lord, say to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies, all my enemies, your footstool, crushing the head of the serpent. And the failure on man's part, it was both men and women, was that through a woman would come the seed line of Jesus, the Adamic seed line, the second Adam that we know as Yeshua the Messiah. And this uh, this brought the crushing of the law, the salvation, the redemption of man, sanctification, healing, all these things by his precious blood. And this dragon is enraged with this woman and makes war against the rest of her offspring. Who are her offspring? Those who keep the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. First four, worship God and him alone. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind. This is the greatest commandment. Don't make any idols. Don't bow down to them. Don't give in to the practices, the abomination that will make you desolate, the gods of those around you. And don't think that we have less requirements. We have the Holy Spirit, and we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to live a standard of holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as his example, thou shalt have no other gods before me in any way, shape, or form. And six, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because God is love. These are the summary of the teachings of Jesus Christ, the succinct bottom line. And let's look at 1 Peter 1, 19 through 20. 1 Peter 1, I'm sorry. Yes, 1, 19. This is so beautiful. Let's start at 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Praise the Lord God Almighty. May his name be lifted up forever. And it will be. He will draw all men nigh to him. If I be lifted up, he said, I will draw all men nigh unto me. Lift him up. Why was the serpent lifted up in the wilderness on the bronze cross? Because it was a symbol of Jesus Christ being lifted up, and that the serpent no more had dominion over the plagues and the disobedience and rebellion of man, but Jesus crushed it on that stake. He crushed the serpent under his foot. He did this for us. He did this for us. He is highly exalted. There is none like our God, Nechamocha, who is like our God, and all the gods. You want to go do your Dragon Boat races and everything? How shallow are you in your walk and your understanding of the Word of God? Because other Christians will see that and they will be misled by your example. 1 Peter 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, who is this? He opened his mouth. Okay, who opened his mouth? Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Okay, let's go up to verse 4. And they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to one to continue for 42 months. Here we are. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed. With the sword, here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. That's Revelation 13. Let's look back here. Hope. Revelation 5:5. But one of the others said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, at the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. May his name be lifted up forever.